From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The budget President Obama is set to propose today is projecting a deficit of $1.6 trillion this year. That's the largest ever, but the plan aims to reduce that deficit by about a third next year as the economy gains steam. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now with word that the president and Republicans are staking out territory not over whether to cut federal spending, but how much and where.
That's right, Craig. The president will be talking about education and a budget he hopes will pay for it at a Baltimore school today, and he's going there because he believes that spending on education, infrastructure, and research are needed to help keep the U.S. competitive, even as he is proposing to over $1 trillion in deficit reductions over a decade. Now, Republican House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan tells Fox News he doesn't want to hear about increases in education spending, but only about cuts.
If he's talking about coming and having new spending, so-called investments, that is not where we're going.
By and large, Democrats support the president, but some, including, for example, New York's Kirsten Gillibrand, say that they will fight cuts for programs that alleviate suffering, items such as wintertime heating assistance for middle-class families.
Thanks, Paul. That's NPR's Paul Brown in Washington. It'll be a busy week for economic news with new reports on everything from retail sales to unemployment. Jacob Goldstein from NPR's Planet Money team joins us now from New York. Jacob, what should we expect?
Well, if you look at the key reports coming out this week as one big picture, you'll get a good overview of the U.S. economy. And what you're likely to see is a pretty strong recovery, but with some big trouble spots. We'll get the latest numbers for retail sales, which have been rising. Retail sales account for about 70% of the U.S. economy. So growth there suggests growth for the economy overall. There will also be several reports on manufacturing, which has been doing well in the past few months after getting hammered during the recession. And we'll get the new housing starts report this week. That will tell us how the construction business is doing. The news there is likely to be pretty grim. There's still this glut of houses for sale in this country, so home builders aren't rushing to build more.
And Jacob, what about jobs and unemployment?
Well, of course, unemployment is still very high. It's about 9%. On Thursday this week, we'll get the weekly numbers for how many people are filing for unemployment insurance for the first time. That number has been falling for the past few weeks, but it's still high by historic standards. So the jobs picture certainly is not good. It's still a big trouble spot, but it does look like it's slowly improving.
Thanks, Jacob. NPR's Jacob Goldstein in New York. A suicide bomb attack has killed at least two people in the capital of Afghanistan today. It's the second attack in less than a month in the heavily secured Afghan capital. Egypt's economy has taken a hit from the weeks of pro-democracy demonstrators, the country's military leaders urging people to return to work today. This is NPR News from Washington. China has formally overtaken Japan as the world's second largest economy. The BBC's Roland Burke says new figures show Japan's economy is growing at a far slower rate than China's.
The latest growth figures mark the end of an era for Japan. After more than 40 years as the second biggest economy in the world, it has been overtaken by China. Japan's economy contracted between October and December. Even so, overall of 2010, it grew by 3.9%. But that was not enough to stay ahead. After World War II, it was Japan that was the economic miracle. By the 1980s, it was on course to eclipse the United States. But a crash was followed by 20 years of stagnation.
The BBC's Roland Burke reporting. Flowers remain the most popular gift for Valentine's Day. The American Society of Florists says mixed flowers are running neck and neck with roses this year. But some men, such as John Wong of New York, says he's opting for chocolates over flowers this year.
Flowers, you know, they wilt over time. They will, like, after time, they'll become dry and stuff. But chocolate, once you eat it, it's, like, in you, and it's, I think that is a better way than flowers.
That's music to the ears of Rachel Elisa, who works at a Godiva chocolate shop in New York. She says people are spending more this year.
It's pretty crazy, actually. I've seen $500 at a time, $700, sometimes $1,000. The lowest I've maybe seen is $30.
Among the customers shopping for chocolates at the Godiva shop was Mark Ryan.
I bought chocolate-covered macaroons and berry bark, and one for a gift and one for myself. Got to take care of yourself on Valentine's Day, too.
I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.